Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds. So thank you and a round of applause to our host, Lafayette State Radio and Television Center. But moderated, this event, this session will be by senior editor at TNW, a Financial Times company, Linnea Ahlgren. Welcome, Linnea.
Thank you very much. Thank you, that's very generous. With me on stage, I have Leo Trukshans, Lead Quantum Key Distribution Engineer at Latvia State Radio and Television Center, Gianpaolo Panariello, CTO of Network Infrastructure at Nokia. Next to him is Armando Nolasco Pinto, full professor in the Department of Electronics, Telecommunications and Informatics of the University of Aveiro, and leader of the Quantum Communications Research Group at the Instituto de Telecomunicaciones. Then we have Simo Hallikainen, senior system designer and specialist at Erillisverkot, focusing on secure communications and quantum encryption technologies. Welcome, Simo. And then down the line, we have Simone Cappelletto, CEO of ThinkQuantum and a governing board member of the Italian chapter of the European Quantum Industry Consortium. Welcome to the panelists, please. On my ride in the taxi here today, I was talking to the taxi driver about what the panel that I was attending was about, and I said it's about quantum networks, and he's like, oh, this is something like Cosmos Technologies. And while we may not have the opportunity to delve into quantum mechanics specifically to that depth today, I would say that for some, yes, it might seem as if it is. And I'm fairly certain that in the audience today we have both what we could call the quantum curious and perhaps also those that already have a very deep technological understanding of quantum technologies for communications. So for the experts in the room, I would ask that you bear with us for a little while, because I would just like to take a few minutes to establish some of the concepts that we are talking about, and then we will sort of funnel that down into more technical detail. And of course, you will all have opportunities to ask questions from the panel towards the end of the discussion today. Simone, if you will, I would like to start with tasking you with giving us a brief explanation of what quantum communication technologies entail, what does it mean to have a quantum-safe network, and also what is the Quantum Industry Consortium's role in promoting these technologies in Europe?
Okay, thank you, and thank you to your organizer for inviting the European Quantum Industry Consortium that is grouping all companies that in Europe are dealing with quantum technology, from quantum computing, sensing, and communication. And just to try to give a proper answer to your question, I will ask all the professors of quantum and so on to be very patient, because I will try to be quite direct to the point. Basically, all you all know that the system, the technology we are using in cybersecurity since 50 years, basically digital, no? And are based on the complexity of the quantum, on the computing complexity to break those processes, to break those protocols. With the advent of quantum computing, we know that a lot of these protocols will be broken by the quantum computers. And when we talk about quantum computing, please keep in mind we are not talking about number of bit hardware development, but also a new mindset, a new computer scientists that are now studying in the university and are going to develop new algorithms in the future that at the moment is still under development, and nobody of us can understand how will be the computer science in 10 years. Sometimes I like to compare that because a lot of focus usually is on the hardware, but to me very important to focus also on the computer science. It's like to be in the 50s with a computer scientist working on the Turing machine. Now we are in the early stage of computer sciences for quantum computing. So quantum computing, including algorithms, are going to develop quickly and are going to break a lot of protocol that today we are using. What to do? There's basically two solutions on the market, two solutions that were coming from university, but now they are mature in terms of commercially system that you can buy, you can implement in your network. On one side, you have this solution based on math, as we were developing the problem in the last 50 years. So the post-quantum cryptography is defining solution, creating problem that will be complex also for the quantum computing. And the strength of this new protocol will be still on the complexity of this product, of these products, this problem. And we have to keep in mind that with this, we come also with the quantum agility, with the cyber agility, that is to be able to understand when a protocol starts to be weak, starts to be attacked, and to be able to change it, to update it quickly. On the other side, another solution is to use some fundamental property of the quantum physics to start implementing new protocols that are based on the principle of physics. So they are not based on complexity, on computing complexity, but on the principle of physics. One property of the quantum particle is the possibility to intercept if something is cloned, because there's a theorem that say that quantum particle cannot be cloned. Man in the middle listening for a classical communication can listen the message and retransmit the message without anybody realizing that there was a man in the middle. With quantum physics, you can understand if someone is listening your qubit, because it's increasing the quantum noise of the channel. That's the basically principle that we have here. And with quantum communication, now we come to the solution, quantum safe. What does it mean? Quantum safe means to have an holistic approach to the networking, to the cybersecurity in a scenario where the quantum computer has broken a lot of today's protocol. And quantum solution, now I guess there's more or less a good agreement in the community. Quantum safe networking will be based in the good use of all the tools that we have. On one side, PQC. On the other side, also the quantum communication that are based on this property of quantum physics. In this second area, we have a quantum key distribution that is already mature, commercially mature, and we have then other protocols that are coming in the future that are mainly under development. I would say this is like a big frame, not to lose too much, not to waste too much time into introduction, because I guess there's a lot of people that has a lot of story to tell us and very interesting, but this is a kind of frame that we have. To say about the maturity of these, I was introducing myself, saying that I'm bringing here the experience of the European Quantum Industry Consortium. Is a consortium where we have already 200 companies that in Europe are dealing with quantum technologies. This is very important because 10 years ago, Europe invested in science, that is with the quantum flagship, with a huge investment in science, and now this science is moving into technologies. In this consortium, we have large groups, but a lot of startups that come out from universities with initiative that comes from this previous year of development of science, and now they're facing the market. I would say this is the overall picture, and now I would hand over the discussion to the colleagues of the floor here, that maybe they are more experienced on the application and installation.
Thank you so much, Simone. I will turn to Armando next. Could you tell us who needs quantum safe networks and why does it matter now when Q-day, as we may call it, when a quantum computer will break the internet, is still some way away, still unsure how long, but why does it matter now before we have a quantum computer powerful enough to break these encryptions? And also, could you perhaps tell us, in your experience, how do you balance the academic research with the real-world applications?
Well, thank you. Yeah, that is quite an easy question, in the sense that I think that everyone needs to be concerned with that, because everyone in some ways depend on digital data, depend on telecommunications, depend on the security of our infrastructure. Of course, not all data has the same lifespan, let's say, my credit card number, well, I'm only concerned for the next maybe 1 year or 2 years, because after that it's going to expire. But like my genomic data, for instance, will be much more important, because that tells a lot about myself, but also a lot about my sons and a lot about my grandsons that I still don't have. So the importance of the information detects how quick you should do this transition. So as Simon pointed out, I think that is clear to everyone that we have to do something. So our society, the security of our digital society is protected by computational complexity. And eventually in the future, we'll be still protected by computational complexity. But we can also add some quantum technologies on that and try to make that more resilient. So in fact, the computational complexity is vulnerable to two types of evolutions, both computational power and also the algorithms. In fact, the quantum computer is going to bring a huge step in terms of computational power, because even if we don't have a large quantum computer, we already know that there are some algorithms, and that the algorithms are already known to everyone, that can break the protocols that we use nowadays, at least to distribute public keys. So in that sense, I think that we should prepare for that, and I think that most of the countries are doing that in that process. And of course, we also have to consider basically three things. What is the expected time that the Q-day can arrive? So what is the time frame that we can expect that a quantum computer can be large enough to break the nowadays quantum cryptographic protocols? Well, really, to be honest, nobody really knows. We can bet on 10 years. Last week, there were a paper that came out from some researchers from Shanghai University, where they claim that they have broken the RSA 50 bits. Well, it's only 50 bits. In fact, RSA is 2048 bits, so there is still quite a gap. But we are doing this progress, so maybe 10 years could make sense. Maybe is reasonable. We also have to consider how much time this transition process is going to take. Well, we cannot predict the future, but we can go look back onto the past. And if we look back into the transitions between the SSL and the TLS that is used nowadays in the HTTPS that secure our internet, you can see that the transitions took around also 10 years. So there are still servers that use the SSL, even if it is not secure anymore. So the transition is something that is not going to happen from one day to another. It's going to take years, eventually decades. And the other point is how important is your information and how long you want to make that information secret. You can put these numbers. There are even a formula from Professor Mosca of the University of Waterloo, and they give you some numbers. But I would say that, well, if you want to keep your information secure for 10 years, it's about time to do that transition, because otherwise the window for this transition is about to close. In fact, NIST start this process, standardize already some post-quantum cryptographic algorithms, and in the US they are already starting this transition at full gas. I guess in Europe, most of the countries, there are also some directives, most of the countries is already starting this process, so I think that is about time. And in fact, in this transition, there are two solutions that we can adopt. In my perspective, they are kind of complementary solutions. So there are these post-quantum cryptography that basically are classical cryptography. So basically, you are finding new problems that you believe that are robust against quantum computers, and you have also the quantum key distribution and the quantum technology. My point, the right direction is kind of a hybrid solution where you are going to use both, because the maturity of both technologies is quite diverse. You also mentioned, I guess, the industry, the the relation.
How do you balance the academic research with the real world application?
Well, I think that, and Simone also mentioned, there are a lot of startups now. I think that that is very, very, very important. It's very important to that we focus our research tower to solve societal problems, and also to collaborate a lot with industry so that we really can target problems that are relevant. One of the things that I found more difficult when I do research in this field is the lack of engineers. Traditionally, the quantum mechanics are given to physics students, not to engineer students. And in fact, if you want to make this a huge movement, you really need to put engineers also in the picture. So, because they are the ones that are really going to develop the system, they are the ones that are really going to maintain the system. And this is kind of a cultural transition, even at the universities, because usually, like in engineer departments, people are not used to teach quantum mechanics. Well, but nevertheless, even if you think about the electromagnetic field, I guess most of the engineers don't know very well about the, at least, well, maybe they know the electrical field, but they don't know that much about the magnetic field, but they still can operate quite successfully the network. So we don't need a very deep knowledge about quantum mechanics, but we should not be afraid about that. So I think that is another aspect that we should also consider. So, yeah.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you. Gianpaolo, we have heard from Armando that everybody needs quantum safe networks, and Simone was talking about the maturity level of the technology. I know that at Nokia you are already providing quantum safe solutions to your customers. Could you tell us a little bit more about those products, what customers are already interested in them, and perhaps also a little bit about how you're approaching balancing the challenge of integrating quantum technologies into classical networks?
Sure. Thanks, Lina, for this question. First, just two words about Nokia, because every time I come in conference like this, everyone is asking me, what about the mobile phone? I had your mobile phone that was very good in the past and so on. So Nokia is no more vendor of mobile phone. This were sold about 10 years ago to Microsoft. Today, Nokia is a trusted vendor of equipment, fixed, mobile, and cloud, telco equipment. And it's the only European vendor that has a full portfolio to cover all this type of technology. Now, because we are a trusted vendor, security have to be in our DNA. We started to discuss about quantum safe network more than 5 years ago, where there were some customers coming to us asking on this solution. So we started to decouple the problem between the locks and the keys. So from locks point of view, we started to implement encryptors with AES-256 in our optical equipment, IP equipment, and so on. For what concerns the key, at that time there was not yet this very nice quantum key distribution technology. So we decided to move to solution based on pre-shared key, but with a special key, not generated by math, but generated by physics, in our case by classic physics. So key with the high entropy generated by physics, length of 256 as minimum, distribution based on pre-shared key, and the last point, very important for the key, was the crypto period. That is the rotation with which you have to change the key in this kind of encryptors. And so we developed a server that was doing this operation in an automatic way. So we developed a key manager able to generate the key based on this principle, to distribute on pre-authenticated channel and to rotate with the right crypto period. Now, after 5 years, this solution is already running in the network of more than 50 customers. It is certified at ANSI, NATO restricted, is also common criteria level 4. And this solution is also evolving in three different directions. A first direction is integration with the quantum key distribution, trying to overcome one of the problems of the quantum key distribution, that is the lack of full stability. Our customer needs to have mission critical reliability, 5.9. Maybe quantum key distribution is still not at this level. Integrating our solution with quantum key distribution, we can get the right reliability for mission critical. Second direction in which we are moving is also implementing a solution of quantum key distribution via satellite in order to overcome the second problem today of the quantum key distribution, that is the distance. The third evolution that we are going, the direction we are going, is to implement a real defense in depth. So implementing the encryption not only at one level, there could be the optical layer, for example, but implementing it on more level, there could be MAC level, MPLS level, IP level, and also application level, maybe making a mix of quantum key distribution, pre-shared key, and post-quantum computing in order to make in such a way that if one layer is compromised, not all the confidentiality of the message has been gone.
Thank you. And how does that work with integrating this into classical network structure?
The integration is happening with classical network is happening clearly that classical network have to start to implement encryptors. So what do we suggest to our customer? For example, we go to a customer who wants to implement an optical layer. We always suggest, let's start to implement equipment having encryptors, such that when you are ready, when will be needed, we can move to an encrypted solution, and more than encrypted, also quantum safe.
Thank you, Nirvana. We have heard quantum key distribution mentioned a few times now. So, Leo, you are LVRTC's lead quantum key distribution engineer. Could you explain QKD in a little bit more detail for us, as perhaps also touch on Latvia's approach to quantum safe networks?
Well, yes, thank you. There are better scientists than me that could explain QKD, but the fundamental principle is that unlike PQC, where it will be just a better algorithm, QKD relies on physical principles that are assumed to be fundamental, the non-cloning principle, for instance, that you cannot observe photon spin and without disturbing it. And on top of this physical property, there are protocols built around it that allow you to share a secret between two parties in such a way that an eavesdropper is guaranteed to be detected. And if it is not detected, then only these two endpoints have ever seen the key. The result of this key synchronization is unpredictable, so you really can't take an email and send it through a QKD using quantum principles. But at least you can generate keys with these interesting properties and then feed them to classical encryptors, like the ones Nokia is producing and others. And yes, so that's the principle of QKD. It has a lot of limitations yet. Going distances, it's very low tolerant to problems in optical lines and so on. But at least it's something based on physics and supposed to be reliable for quite some time. Our approach, let me step back for a moment. Historically in Latvia, we have a very strong theoretical computing discipline. A lot of very bright scientists and a lot of world-known innovations. We don't still have a quantum computer yet, but the scientists that build algorithms around it are here. We also have some interesting developments in quantum sensing. But I could tell you more about quantum communications. Yes, LVRTC, that's the state-owned company, mostly working with government communications. And we provide a variety of services, including cybersecurity. And we are leading partner in Latvian national QCI project. There are some other partners as well. And we approach this QKD network deployment as a complex project. We have a lot of activities, basically not just let's build a network and see what happens, but we try to build the ecosystem around it as well, so that we bring in users, we see how it works for users, we test on variety of physical conditions, going extreme distances, and so on, and see how we can integrate it with PQC, which seems to be the modern trend, not to rely just on one or the other, so the software or the physics, but to combine them together in a more robust, more variably usable solution.
Thank you, Leo. Simo, to you next. What has the transition been like to move from working with classical networks to quantum technologies? And
well,
we'll start there.
That's an excellent question, since I have to say it has been an eye-opening journey in like multiple levels. Our team of experts at Erillisverkot are very talented on the kind of traditional means of communications, either optical or wireless, but things like that. The knowledge on those is a good start when you try to gain even the slightest idea of quantum communications. You have to start with theory. And theory is something that you are able to gain by studying some academic publications or working with the universities like we have done. But on the other hand, the actual learning has started when we got the quantum communication devices and were able to set those up in the lab and quite soon after that to the field and start seeing what it's like in the actual real life scenarios. Well, that's the kind of the ramp up thing we have gained on the knowledge now.
And what are the most important findings that you have so far from this lab and field testing?
Well, the most important findings, as we are in Erillisverkot, we are a part of the National Consortium of Finland on the EuroQCI project. We are focusing on the long distance networks there. And our partners are doing the metropolitan network parts. And we are providing kind of the test beds for the governmental users only. That's our goal. And since, as you might know or figure out, that Finland is kind of a long country and there's long distances between, for example, even from the capital of Helsinki to Tampere or Turku. So in the first phases when we're kind of setting the procurements of the devices and things like that, we were thinking about the most difficult thing will be producing working links over 120 kilometers or so. That was the first guess. And when we got the actual devices from an Italian friendly vendor here, and we were able to use those in the lab on the first week with a 133 kilometer fiber. So we proved our kind of the first hypothesis wrong. And even after that, going to the field, we have, for example, over 120 kilometers of submarine cable. There's a link running as we speak, and it's stable. So the long link spans are not the case that we are kind of worried now. But still, there's some significantly shorter link spans, let's say 40 kilometers or so. and there's some kind of a physical phenomena happening on that fiber that by the means of traditional measurements you cannot see. And that is affecting the kind of the performance or usability of the QKD on that kind of the single link span that we are trying. And that's where it gets interesting, because you have to study totally new fields on of the quantum communications and how the actual photons react to, for example, vibrations on the fiber or temperature or things like that. Like the real physics tend to happen when you go outside the lab, and that's when it gets tricky. Well, our approach, I have to kind of add to what my colleagues have already said here, that it might be not a good idea to stick to, for example, PQC or QKD itself. We are aiming and already doing a hybrid approach. So now we are running layer one encryption with encryptors that are getting the keys from the QKD devices. And there's now, let's say, for example, Diffie-Hellman, and on top of that we can have like AES-256, and then on top of that QKD. And supposedly by the end of this year we will add PQC protocols on that stack. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like a full-on hybrid solution on layer one. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that the governmental critical users will be demanding in the future.
Thank you. You mentioned EuroQCI.
Yeah.
Could you please explain briefly what that entails?
Well, it's a kind of European Quantum Initiative project that there's 27 countries, EU countries, participating in the project, which the aim is to make a quantum secure communication network between the member countries that could be a mean of exchanging sensitive or secret or whatever classified information on like EU levels in the future. Of course, now we are on the beginning of the journey, and some countries are ahead of us and some countries are a bit behind of us. But I have to say that the kind of cooperation between the countries has been excellent. So we have visited many countries, for example, Latvia several times, to just discuss and wonder that, okay, we have seen this problem, have you seen it? And after like talking with the actual experts that are doing the hands-on work, we have like figured out that, oh, this has to be the problem when we go home, and we have like the means to at least kind of narrow down what is the situation and then solve it. And that's the beauty of it.
That's highly encouraging. So that's on the expert level.
Yeah.
What does the European collaboration look like on, let's say, the policy level? Simone, perhaps you could say what do you feel needs to happen in terms of standardization and regulation in the area of quantum networks?
Yeah, I guess that's a really a great event. And I guess that the awareness of everybody here is that technology can deliver what is requested technology, but then the governance sometimes is much more critical. No? I guess a lot of people here also talking about 5G, about classical communication, know very well that there's a lot of discussion that goes far beyond the technology. And the technology, I think, as engineers, we are a good community, scientists, engineers, we can deliver what we are asked to deliver. No? It's more critical to put people to agree, I think, to put people around the table, to find an agreement, and so on. One of the blocking points at the moment for the quantum solution is that there's no already standard and certification. That is clearly a point that can really open the market and open the adoption of this technology, because okay, these are new technologies, so you have those general purpose standards that you can apply. As I think were quoted by Nokia, no? For example, you are doing an encrypto, you know what you have to do, you are doing, you have all these certifications that are general purpose. But what we miss is a specific standard and certification protocol for quantum. So basically, to answer the question that is this device doing what is declared it has to do? And for this, I would say that the focus of Europe now is quite strong. The focus of the Commission on this is clear. I think the Commission recommended the adoption of both technology, QKD and PQC. But for QKD specifically, there are some standards that pop up in the last year. There's an ISO standard last year. Now ETSI is coming soon with a new standard defining how to test a protocol. But the most important project now is Nostradamus, that is a project founded by the European Commission, where there's plenty of members. And the focus here is to define what to test, in case using standard, and also how the process should work. That's the point that ideally you have a system that is declared to use a certain protocol, exactly as it was for RSA, for a device doing this stuff, exactly the same, but on new technology. So you have a system that is declared to use a protocol, so you have to see if every subsystem of this product is doing exactly what it's doing, what it is supposed to do. So the quantum random number generator is fulfilling all the minimum requirement for entropy, and then the qubit generation is using the stream of quantum random numbers to prepare the status of the qubit. So all these are building blocks of the full product that has to be tested a certain process. And of course, we had to identify a third body, that is a certification body, that has to be a trusted entity for the manufacturer that are disclosing critical information, and for the customer that are trusting the devices, but also the certification body. That's the picture that we are looking in.
Thank
this
you.
Time.
Gianpaolo, from an industry point of view, what do you want to see in terms of European regulation and standardization?
I would say that for sure the matter of standardization is a critical matter. The other thing that I would like to outline is the collaboration that has to happen among different companies. Because, you know, a quantum safe network could be something simple, as I showed you before, maybe a couple of encryptors and a server. But when, for example, quantum key distribution, post-quantum computing are entering the game, no, maybe not one company only is able to implement everything. So collaboration, partnership is crucial. We as Nokia, for example, we are focalizing on the lock level of the quantum safe network, on the encryptors, and we are providing this automatic server for pre-shared key. And then we are building partnership for the quantum key distribution, quantum key management, post-quantum computing, in order to have a complete solution. And then the other point that I would like to underline is about the fact that this collaboration has to be focalized on specific areas in the world. We know, we heard also this morning, how technology is linked to geopolitics. So quantum technology is very sensitive from this point of view. So what we are doing, we are building ecosystem for different areas. For example, for Europe, we are starting to build an ecosystem that is made by all European countries in order to be in some way compliant with any type of regulation that is coming from the European Commission.
Thank you. I would pass to Leo quickly. What has the collaboration between Latvia and its neighbors looked like? Well, not all neighbors, but...
Well, it looks very well towards the north. Estonians and Finns are quite far away. But going south,
If Lithuanians hear this, then get more strength, come and join us. But nonetheless, there are neighbors across the sea, not very far from Latvia. So there are countries to talk to, and there are national QCIs with at least two of our neighbors by sea or by land. So, we see optimistically into the future. This first large DEP call was towards national infrastructures, and we think during this project and towards the end we will gain enough knowledge, understanding, use cases and so on to be able to stretch the network into international communications. And there's a lot of interesting challenges, like how to exchange securely keys and the cryptographic relay functions, interesting new algorithms coming up. We look forward optimistically.
Thank you, that's good to hear. Armando, before we open up for questions, what do you feel needs to happen on a collaboration level in Europe moving forward?
Well, I think that this Euro QCI has been quite a great opportunity for collaboration. So we are here and we have been around in a lot of collaboration. So in that sense, this is great. The next phase of the Euro QCI will be the cross border. So the idea is that every country has, or most of the countries has built the networks. So as I mentioned, the development is not equal in all the countries. So there are countries that have quite large networks that already a lot of experience. They are integrated already in traditional telecommunication networks with the control plane and so on. There are other countries that are very experimental field trials. So the stage is quite different. And the next stage is going to be the interconnection of these networks. Well, in my opinion, I am a little bit concerned about this, because the funding for this kind of interconnection is quite small. So like the European Union is paying like 30%, so it's difficult to find, depends on the countries. So there are countries that are quite strong national quantum initiatives, and eventually they can pay these 70, they can find money for the 17% of the budget that is still missing. Therefore, others will be challenging. So I think that has been quite interesting. This Euro QCI has been really, really important, putting everyone together. But of course, I think that there are still a lot of, we have to take into consideration the maturity of the technology. In fact, we are talking about a technology that cannot really produce a business case right at the moment. So we still need some support, because we are not, the maturity of quantum technology is not the same as artificial intelligence or 5G or so on. So I think that this has to be taken into consideration in the political side. And sometimes I am a little bit concerned about that.
Thank you. So we have optimism and some concern. So we're a balanced panel. With that, I would like to open up the floor for questions. If there is anyone in the audience, please raise your hand.
Yeah, please just put up your hand if you have any questions or maybe comments, or maybe you have answers to the questions we've been touching. Just before this session, I had a little chat with two specialists, and they said, you know what, actually post-quantum computing is happening already. There are some scientists in Wuhan already decoding our long algorithms and codes. We just don't know it yet. So that could be a question. Maybe everything is happening. We're just not knowing it.
Yeah, that could be possible.
Yes, it could be possible.
Really?
I think it's the...
I'm quite sure.
And not only trying to decipher right now, but they can gather information of our secret channels and sometime later.
Harvest now, decrypt later is a very real...
But wait. It makes me a little scared. Now, if you say that everything could be already happening, how would we know, and when would we know? And
being scary, no? We have no answer, basically.
Okay.
I think that, well, we don't know if that is happening now or not, but I am pretty sure that when that happens, nobody's going to tell. So when a country is going to have a quantum computer that is able to break the cryptographic protocols, it's not going to publish a paper on that. It's going, you know.
So it's going to be a total breakdown at one moment and one country wins.
Eventually. We don't know. Let's hope that Europe can be robust enough to not be vulnerable at that point.
But all right. One question to Nokia is, how is Nokia leveraging quantum computing or post-quantum computing to enhance the capabilities of 5G networks? What's happening there now, like specifically?
Let's say that for what concerns mobile network, the technology that will be used for encrypt the links is post-quantum computing. This will come in a second phase, and particularly, if I will remember, it's foreseen in the 3GPP standardization for 2028. At the moment, focus is on encryption and protection of fixed link like optical link. And to your question, so what do we have to do now? Maybe something is already happening. The only solution is to start to protect now. Solutions are available since 5 years. So please, if you want to be protected, there is a solution.
I think Leo also wanted to add something to the question of if quantum computing is already breaking our encryptions.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to add, I'm not sure that when the adversaries get a powerful enough computer, they will immediately break every possible key that they have seen, because setting up a quantum computer actually takes some time. So you need to prepare it. You can't just simultaneously break a lot of keys. So most likely they will gather a priority list, and hopefully my e-signature key is somewhere down below.
That's fantastic. Don't be important enough, in other words. Seymour, please.
Yeah, I have to stress out this point that there's like two options. You can wait for somebody to provide you the best solution, and I think that's not a good idea. You have to do what you can do now. For example, implement PQC encryption. And from our point of view, as we are like serving only the Finnish governmental users, which are handling critical data, critical communications, it has to be secure already. And we are just adding more layers as we go, as we have the option. But I would say that use whatever you can now, like PQC, and go into hybrid with QKD when possible.
Or all right.
Additional right. New upcoming protocols.
Linear.
Don't wait.
Yes, I will. With that, we are unfortunately out of time. I feel like we could continue this conversation for the extent of another panel, at least. I think the main message might be, when's the time to start implementing quantum safe technologies? Yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Please join me in thanking our panelists for...